But you take your Bibles today and open up to Judges chapter number 14. Judges and chapter number 14 in the Word of God today. As you look here at Judges chapter 14, for those of you who are visiting with us, we've been in a series now entitled Heroes of the Faith. And we've been coming through different heroes in the Word of God, from Moses to Esther, Abishai, Peter, looking at the power of God that was moved in their life. And then last week, we really began to give this introduction to the story of Samson. And today I want us to continue here looking at the subject of Samson and some really highlights in his life that you and I can follow, you and I can apply to our lives as well. And today I want us to continue reading here in Judges chapter 14. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Judges chapter number 14. And I want you to look, if you would please, at verse number 3. Verse number 3 of Judges 14, the Bible says this. Then his father, talking about Samson, and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all the people, that thou shouldest goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines, the enemies? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. This morning I want to look at this passage of Scripture and preach a message entitled, just simply, Warning. Let's look at the warning today. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that we are not alone. Lord, when we feel alone, it's not that you have left us, because you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. So, Father, instead of turning to ourselves or social media or trying to find identity as something, Lord, I just ask that we would turn to you. That, Father, even right now in this moment, no matter what we're struggling with, Lord, I ask that in this moment we would turn to you. That, Father, we'd ask, Lord, what do you have for me today? Father, I ask that everything that is said and preached, Father, would exalt your name. Jesus, we need you in our midst today. Father, if there's one here and they do not know you as their personal Savior, Father, I'm talking about someone who is lost in their sin. Father, would today be the day of salvation? Doesn't matter if they've been a church member for 30 years. If they're lost, would they see their need of a Savior? Father, whether it's a visitor that's walked in these doors and needing you, looking for something to fill that void in their life, I ask that today, through the preaching of God's Word, you'd reveal to them, knock on their heart's door right now, that they need a Savior. And Father, I'm going to admit, we need you today. Father, I don't want to walk in here. The music has just been so worshipful today that, God, I want to pause this prayer and just ask you that we wouldn't go through another Sunday morning to check it off our list, or for us to set aside ourselves for the next couple of moments, that Father, maybe we just walk in here, stand right now, and just pray a prayer. Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the introduction to Samson last week, we begin to see that the next generation, the generation that Samson is going to live in, is going to receive a blessing. And the reason that he's going to receive a blessing was not because he was just somebody special, but no, it started with a generation before him. It started in chapter number 13 when we begin to see this incredible chapter that oftentimes when we look at the story of Samson, we don't always look at that section or that part of his family history. But as we begin to look at it, we begin to see in a great way that although we are never told the name of Samson's mother, Samson's mother was used in a great way. Samson's mother was visited twice by an angel of the Lord. And as the angel of the Lord began to speak to her, we see that Samson's father also wanted that blessing. He also wanted to talk. He also wanted to know. But what we concentrated on in that passage was that there was this generation before that there in his father that said, hey, listen, angel of the Lord, come. And how do you want us to raise Samson? How is it? Well, what do you want us to do? This Nazarite vow, I want you to tell us more about it. And you and I made application that in that passage of scripture, the same ought to be in true in our lives today. It's not us going to Google, and it's not us going to Fox News or CNN or some podcast that, well, I think this is the best way that we ought to raise the next generation, or maybe even give up on the next generation. But no, there is application there that for you and I in our lives, we ought to be concerned with the generation that's coming up behind us. You and I ought to be seeking the Lord. Lord, how do you want us to raise them, Lord? How can we pray, Lord? What can we do in their lives? And my friend, I'm here to tell you, if there was ever a day and age when you and I ought to be serious about, hey, the next generation coming up behind us, if God tarries and he doesn't come back and we don't hear the trumpet sound, and what if it's another 30, 40, 50 years, which he could, I mean, he is God, he could do whatever he wants, then how are we going to raise a generation to stand? How are we going to raise a generation with power and with might and with mercy and grace and peace? And how can we raise a generation coming up behind us that's not just concerned with self, or not just concerned with the worship that I want, or the way that I want it, or what, oh, this is my way? No, how can we raise a generation that stands on the very word of God? How many would say by an amen, that's what we desire at Cross Point Baptist Church? Would say amen today? That ought to be our desire. Say, well, I'm not saying amen right there. Well, we ought to, because I'm here to tell you, friend, God may not come back for another 30 or 40 years. He might not come back for another 1,000. Again, he's God. He can do what he wants. And we know the signs. We know the seasons. We know it's close. I'm thankful for that. I have personal beliefs in my life that, and Carrie and I kind of go back and forth, when we think the Lord's going to come back. But let me tell you, no man knoweth the hour. So it ought to be a deep concern with God. How do we carry on in 2022, 2025, 2030? Lord, if you don't return, how do we continue? And man, the application there, Lord, teach us so that we can teach this next generation. But then we see here in this warning. This warning in Samson's life came up. And to be honest with you, there were some big warning signs that were there. In our life, the life that you and I live today, there's a lot of warnings that you and I have. When you and I drive on the roads that we drive, there are signs that are there. Those signs are not just there so that if we disobey, we get a ticket. If we don't obey this speed limit sign or this sign that, oh, well, they're just put there so because the politics are mean and cops are mean and they just want to, no, hold on. The reason that we have road signs are for, are you ready for this? They're for a warning. They're warning us. If you and I were just able to go any speed that we wanted, there would probably be a lot more disasters on the highways and on the roads. And if you're shaking your head, you know, there's some people in this room, you are very fast drivers. If you're a fast driver, Carrie, raise your hand. Okay. Me and Carrie are opposites, man. I just do my thing. We're on a trip. You know, I'm kind of 4 or 5 miles per hour over. That's where I set my cruise. No way, Jose. Carrie's like, if we're not going 10, 15, 20, 100 miles an hour over, then we're not going to get there. And it's just, we're just built differently. Okay. Understand. But the road signs are there to warn us. There's yield signs. You know what yield means? It does not mean, remember the roundabouts last week, doesn't mean stop. It means you can keep going, but you just kind of look and you yield to traffic. But we have those yield signs there. Why? They are a warning to help us. There's a stop sign. Why is that stop sign there? It's a warning. If you don't stop, oncoming traffic could hit you. We have signs around this whole area that are warning us. Do you know, in our own bodies, we have warnings? Our bodies will warn us if something's about to happen. happen or something's about to take place. We might get a fever. Our body is warning us. We could feel fatigue. Our body is warning us. We started men's basketball. Brother Mark, we've been in that about 5 weeks now, I do believe. Or Brother Brett, 6 weeks maybe now. And let me tell you, 6 weeks ago, the very first week that I came out and played men's basketball, my body was warning me. It was screaming, look, Thomas Shepherd, you are out of shape. And it was screaming. Man, I could hardly lift my arms the next day, and my legs were sore. And it was warning, your muscles have overdone it. Your muscles have stretched. They're going to get stronger. But in our bodies, if we don't heed the warnings, something bad could happen. If you're with me today, say amen. It's clear warnings. Do you know our spiritual life has warnings? Do you know there's warnings that you and I can look at, very applicable warnings that you and I are getting away from God? If you and I in our spiritual life don't desire to talk to Him or to be in the Word of God, maybe we ought to take warning there. If there's no desire to be in church, there ought to be a warning there. If there's no desire to sing out to God, there ought to be a warning there. If there's no desire to give, if there's no desire to be involved, if there's no desire for all things God, understand, then you and I ought to heed to that warning. There's warning signs throughout our life each and every day. And in our text that we've just read, and we'll continue to read, Samson manifests all the signs of a man who is headed towards trouble in his life. Yes, he ignored every one of those signs that would travel, and it seemed like it was so obvious, and yet these signs that were there, he totally ignored, and it ultimately led to dishonor and even death in his life. But for the next couple of moments, I want to look at this direction that Samson was heading in, the warnings that were there, the signs that were so obvious, and yet he did not heed to them. First of all, if you're taking notes today, would you write this down? Number one, there is the sign of craving. Number one, there is the sign of craving. This was Samson's desire. The desires that gripped Samson's heart and that motivated his life should have been a warning flag and problems that were just around the corner, and yet they were not. There was this craving. He craved, he desired a woman. Look with me at verse number one here. It says this. Verse number one of chapter 14, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now remember, we saw last week in chapter number 13, at the beginning of that chapter, that these people, they're in bondage of the Philistines. They're at war with them. They are living around them. Timnath was a village that belonged to the tribe of Dan, and apparently at this time it's being occupied by the Philistines. And on his journey to Timnath, Samson, the Bible says, saw a Philistine woman. She captured his eye, and he tells his parents, hey, I want this woman. There was a craving that he saw. He saw something that was outside the bounds of what he was supposed to have in his life. It was outside those boundaries. There had already been warnings that he is not to marry or to look at or to be with these enemies, and yet he goes down and he sees. You see, Samson, it may have been very strong physically, but Samson was very weak spiritually. He had no self-control. You see, true strength is not measured in how much you can lift. True strength is measured in how well you can control your actions and your attitudes and your appetites. That's why Solomon said it like this: he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit is he that taketh a city. It would do us well, comprehend Christian today, it would do us well to remember that our problems in the spiritual realm begin where Samson's problems began. They begin with our own hearts. They begin with our own appetites. They begin with, at times, our own selfish and sinful desires. James said it like this: but every man is tempted, and when he is drawn away to his own lust and enticed, This should be a warning sign to us all. When we begin, hold on, listen, Christian, very carefully. When you and I, in our Christian walk, when we begin to crave what God forbids, excuse me, let me say it again. When you and I begin to crave what the very Word of God forbids, friend, that is a warning sign to us all. Something is going awry. Something is not right. Well, me and God, we kind of have this understanding. I'm kind of my old man, and I know what the Bible says, but to be honest with you, I'm good, and me and the man upstairs, we're on good terms, and I know what the Bible says, but you know what? It's 2022, and we're okay where we're at, and we're going to be just fine. Let me tell you something, friend. If your sin is called out in this book wins every time. Amen. Now, let me say that again. It does not matter what hashtag is going around. It doesn't matter what's going viral. It doesn't matter what schools are teaching. It doesn't matter if the Supreme Court wants to come out and say, this is what constitutes or this is what defines. If it goes against the very Word of God, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? Understand, it's not my way, me. No, no. If it goes against the very Word of God, then friend, you and I ought to follow the Word of God every single time. And yet you and I have the warnings of God's Word. That's why so often, I know we have some visitors here today, and Brother Adam, looks like you brought some visitors, and praise the Lord for that. So I'm going to help us out here. Let me just take a sidebar here for just a second. Let me put it this way. Okay, you ready for this? Comprehend that the world that we live in wants to define everything for us. The world and the culture in which you and I live, they are truly after those of the next generation. They want their minds. They want their talents. They want to redefine even what male and female is nowadays. And the whole world is after them. And it seems like we are kind of living in this day, even as Christians, where Christians are starting to, they're starting to tilt towards, did God really mean that? That's kind of archaic, or let me put it this way, that's kind of old-fashioned, hold on. Has anyone in this room ever lived a perfect life? Nobody. Let me help you out. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is what it says, like there's none righteous, like none. But let's go a little bit further. No, not, finish it. One. No, not one. There's nobody perfect. There is only one being that has ever lived that lived a perfect life, and his name is Jesus Christ. And do you know that he left his story in a perfectly inspired, preserved word, and it's called the Bible that you and I have in our laps? And our tablets and our phones that we open up to. Can you and I just say this? If we're going to follow anything that's going to lead and guide and direct us right, we ought to follow the very Word of God. And if our flesh begins to say, let's redefine, let's do this. No, may the warning sign be there. This craving that he had, it went against his vows. It went against who he was. It went against God Almighty. But here he is. I got to have it. You see, he craved and he desired a woman, but he also craved his own way. Look at the end of verse number 3. It says this. At the end of verse number 3, it says, and Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Now comprehend, in these two statements that Samson made, they ought to really stand out to us. We ought to highlight it, or if you write in your Bible, underline it on your phone, kind of mark that out there, because these two statements give us a glimpse into his heart. He says this, get her for me. Here's what he says, she pleaseth me well. You see, Samson's focus is on what he thinks. It's on what he feels. It's on what he wants. Desire that stood in opposition to the will of God should have been a warning flag to Samson. Understand, and he has taken the Nazarite vow to God. We see that in the last chapter of Judges 13 and verse number 7. And that he was to be separated unto the Lord. Samson in his life is different from those around him. He is chosen. He is different. He has taken this vow. He is being raised very different. There are boundaries in his life that he is not to overstep. Why? It's a warning. It's a help. He's going to be used greatly, or supposed to be used greatly, of God as a judge there in Israel. And yet here he is, and it's not, okay, I'll do what you want. No, now he's come to a place, I crave, I want, this is what you're going to do for me. Let me put it like this, friend. There is great application here in this passage, even for our life. When the Lord saved us, are you ready for this? He redeemed us unto himself. That means this, if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we are his possession. We are bought with a price. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You know what that means? All this simply means is that you and I have been bought with a price. If you're saved today, would you say amen? No, I mean, are you really, really saved? You've asked Jesus Christ in your heart. You're going to heaven one day. Hey, let's join together. If that's your testimony, would you say amen today? Amen. Then that means this. It's no longer our way, what I want. It is now all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is about his will. It is about his way. It is about what does he want with my life. You see, I put it like this, and this next week, I think it's around 13 or 14 messages, and we're preaching to young people this next week. And so some of my wires are getting crossed here. And then, hold on, just hold with me for a second. And then Pastor Dan happened to preach this entire point in about 45 minutes in our life stage group with the men today. So I feel like the Lord's pulled me in a different direction, because all the guys are like, good grief, is that all we're going to get today? Well, maybe the Lord's trying to tell you something. Maybe you ought to get it for a second, okay? But nonetheless, in this craving, at times, here's what we do. We preach, okay, you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. You're the Lord's. Your body's not your own. We almost say it, okay? We almost say it, Pastor Defoe, like that is a negative thing. We almost teach it to our young people that are in here today. And we almost preach it like, well, once you get saved, bless God, here's what it is. It's rules and standards, and it's a different life. And you're not able to participate, and you have to. And it's like you almost got into military, and you're not your own anymore, and you got to eat what I tell you to eat and go to sleep and run 50,000 miles and do this. And everybody's miserable, and everybody, that's almost how we treat Christianity nowadays. Like, you've been bought with a price. Oh, I've been bought with a price. I get to go to heaven. Can't wait till I get there, because the Christian life here is miserable. But that's not Bible. I want to tell you something, friend. When I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, everything changed. My life didn't get miserable in that moment. It was finally when I was able to break the chains of misery. I didn't say yes to Jesus, come into my heart, now put me in chains. No, he came, he blotted out my sin, and he broke those chains. He didn't say, okay, here's the chains, now live with guilt. No, he broke those chains and took that guilt and put it on himself. He didn't rescue me out of bitterness so that I can get down the road and he can put it back on me. That's not how it works. He didn't rescue me from the flesh and from all these nasty, sick desires of the flesh so that we get down here and he says, well, I can't handle it more here. You take it back. No, he said, casting all your care upon me, for I careth for you. He said, you confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Righteousness for every young person sitting in here today. Let me put it this way, teenager. The lost world may look like they're having fun and partying it up, and it's all good and great. And boy, poor little you, you have to go to church on Sunday morning. Poor little you, you have to go to Sunday school. Poor little you have to go to camp. Poor you have to do this and that. And I could just do everything that I want to do. Let me tell you something, young person. That's not the way that God operates. He said this, I'm going to take everything that the world calls happiness, and with the void that you're looking for in your life, and I'm going to fill it with good, and I'm going to fill it with me, and I'm going to fill it with peace, and I'm going to fill it with joy, and I'm going to fill it with real happiness, not like the world's happiness that comes and goes with every Disney trip. No, I'm going to give you happiness that lasts, and I'm going to give you joy that lasts, and I'm going to give you peace that the world cannot comprehend. I'm going to give you everything that this lost world is looking for. And check it out. Not only am I going to give it to you, you get to keep it. It doesn't cost you a thing, but it cost me everything. And when he cried out, "It is finished," can I put it this way? It is finished. But yet the warning was there. Give it to me. I want it. I want it right now. Pastor Dan can't even preach this message because you did. But Pastor Dan said it today. Man, even as Christians, we are that way. We want it our way. We want Christianity our way. We want it this our way. We want this. And anything outside of what I want, well, then it's not right. It's wicked. It's evil. And it's not. And all of a sudden, hold on. We start being God. We start defining what the Word of God has already defined for us. And I'm here to tell you, Cross Point Baptist Church, may that be a big stinking warning sign in our life that we will never be higher than this word. You and I will never be more right than this word. This word has to have preeminence. This word has to come first. Will somebody help me out with an amen today? This word has to lead and guide and direct. Why? Because this word is perfect. This Bible is set. There is no more revelation. And the person says, well, I know it's not in the word of God, but God kind of spoke to me and here's extra revelation. That man is a liar. Let God be true. Let his word go forth. You see, the first sign we saw was a sign of craving, his desire. But look at secondly, there was a sign of contempt. Look at verse number 3. Watch what the Bible says. Verse number 3, it says, and his father and his mother said to him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren? Look, or among all thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Now hold on, pause right here. His parents' charge was this. When Samson's parents hear that what he wants to do, they immediately warn against following this course of action. Samson had already lined it out for his life. They know what Samson has planned is not the Lord's will. And so they're going to interject. They're going to try to, change his mind by encouraging him, not just to say, well, you can't do that, but they're going to explain why, or maybe, hey, here's something better. Have you not thought maybe not go this direction, but is there an Israelite girl that you can marry? Is there not a good girl just here? What they're doing here is, they're being parents. They are loving and caring. And what they're seeing their child, the path that this child is going down, he's about to make a serious mistake. Paul has commissioned you and I to do the same. He said, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, step-parents, single moms that are here, single dads that are here today. Hold on, I want you to tune in for just a moment. Your children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, they may not appreciate it, but you and I have a responsibility that when we see something that is going to be harmful to their lives, or may I put it this way, that goes contrary to the Word of God, you and I are commissioned. We are told. We have our orders. You and I are to step in, as parents, and be that warning sign to them. There's what we do today. It's the world we live in. Well, Pastor, that sounds good. That sounds great. But to be honest with you, come on. Let's get real. July of 2022. We don't live back in the days where families were just kind of get around the table and eat. We live in a TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube world. And the world we live in, it's just so different. And so, you know, the day and age we live, well, you know, but they're even saying, here we go, well, okay, I'm just going to say, Pastor, they're letting kids kind of do their own thing nowadays. Kind of like that. Be their own, I guess we're not allowed to say man anymore. Be their own, we're not allowed to say woman anymore. We're just so, we're letting them, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old. They I know a little tomboy, but, you know, she gets to choose whether she wants to be a male or female. And they get to choose whether they, okay, I'm not making fun, but I'm making fun. It's foolish. It's nonsense. You and I have been commissioned to raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. Well, I'm kind of, you know, it's a different day and age than your grandparents, Pastor. Come on. It's a different day. You know, we're letting them choose. Do you want to go to church or do you want to play sports? Do you really want to be in the Word of God, or do you want to? I'm just kind of letting them do it. We don't want to force them. We don't want to force them. No, we don't want to go that way. So, you know, if you want to play your PlayStation a little bit later, you want to be on Fortnite for a little couple more hours, you just do your thing. You'll be on your phone all day. You just go ahead and, okay, fine. Our kids play games. Our kids are on phones. Our kids know apps. Our kids are involved. Well, see, Pastor Good, I'm glad we agree. But let me tell you something. There are boundaries that have to be set up. Oh, man, okay. I'm just telling you. If I even tried to get in the business of my teenage daughter, my teenage son, it just would not go over well. Get in their business. I'm telling you, friend, I am so sick and tired. Of we have 18 and 19-year-olds who don't want to come back to church, and we've got 15, 16, and 17-year-olds that are so addicted to pornography, it is going to destroy their life. It is going to destroy their marriage. It is already destroying their minds. We have Disney that's coming out, and I'm not harping on Disney. We have a Disney trip planned in September. Disney has never claimed to be a Christian company. There's some values that I do not agree with them, but I'm here to tell you, we are on an all-new level. I think Satan knows our time is short. And it is an all-out war for the minds of our young kids. And while the world keeps saying, we're just going to keep putting, we're not even going to hide it anymore. We're just going to keep throwing it in their face and throw it in their face and throw it in their face. Till finally now our Christian kids can't even wear a rainbow that's God's promise because the world has so perverted it. And yet we have Christian parents that step back and letting the world pervert our kids. And here's their mindset. Well, we don't want to get in their business. And well, we just kind of want them to do their own thing, and we don't want to really tell y'all. They're just kids, and they got to learn. Let me tell you something, friend. If Samson showed us anything, is that his parents should have taken a stand. Their parents shouldn't have just said, well, is there not anybody else? Okay, go do your own thing. And cower to them like they did. No, if they're under our roof, they've been given to us. You and I have been commissioned. Excuse me, friend. I know it's not popular. I know some of you may never come back to the church, but I'm just going to say it. You and I have been commissioned, told we've been given our orders. Raise them up. Raise them up. Get in their business. Get in their life. You know why? God gets in ours. Oh, well, you think we just get saved and God leaves us alone? We can sin, do whatever we want? Oh, that's not, like that's not how it works. We have an Abba Father. Now we ought to be moms and dads and grandparents. Excuse me. We ought to care enough about the next generation to get involved. Now, hold on, let me say it again. We ought to care about the next generation enough to get involved. You know, so you say, Pastor, why are you so passionate? Here's, man, this Pastor Dan, you ruined my whole message today. But the reason I get so passionate about this is because we now live in this generation. Whew, here we go. We live in this generation where we are the Christians that want Christianity our way.
We now have a whole generation, not of coming up, that have already been raised. They're the leaders. I'm talking about men that are my age. Churches aren't growing. People aren't getting saved. Baptismal waters are drying up. Man, we're not seeing people discipled. We have more missionaries coming off the field than we have going on in a world of 7 billion, 8 billion people on this planet. And yet now we have raised this entire generation where it's either, hey, we don't want to get involved, and oh, it's so weird, and you know, well, the teacher said do this, and Professor so-and-so said do this, and Dr. Fuddy Duddy said do this, and I know what the Bible says, but I don't really know, and I don't want to hurt their feelings. Don't hurt their feelings. Or we've raised a generation where we're over here, Pastor A, not just still, but we are Burger King. We are Burger King, and we want Christianity to be done our way. We don't care if we have 25 people in church as long as we're doing it our way. I don't care. We got the saxophone up here, and we got the trumpet, but I don't know what that thing was called that went like this that Molly's playing, and whatever Molly's playing, because I don't understand it, then it's got to be evil. And who is Molly anyway? She's new here, and I haven't seen her up there before, and so I got to go talk to Anita. Let me go talk to Anita. Anita, is she fine? Is that wicked? Is that wrong? I've never seen that thing. I think it's called a French horn. Not sure, but anyways, French horn and the French horn. The French! We fought the French in World War II, or World War I. Or we didn't fight them, never mind. Anyways, and all of a sudden, as silly as it sounds, that's the Christianity we live in. We don't care that we are losing a generation of young kids to the transgender, gay, and lesbian crowd. We don't care that our young people are losing their minds and their purity to pornography. We are concerned with the Christianity that I want. And friend, I'm here to tell you, we're losing. We're losing. Samson said, I want it my way. Good for them. Good. Praise the Lord for parents. Samson, have you thought through? Was it popular? He knew what he wanted. Have you thought through? Maybe there's an Israelite girl. Let's think about this. Maybe they went into detail, Nazarite vow. But if you look at the end of verse number 3, you know what he says? Go get her for me. For every young person in here today, I don't want to embarrass you, but I do want to ask you just for a second. I know there's some visitors in here, so don't get carried away. I don't do this every week, but you just follow as the Holy Spirit leads. If you're 18 years old and younger, just in this room, Overflow 2, DJ all the way over here, could you stand just real quick? Just stand real quick. I just want to see you. I want to tell you one thing. Because I love you, just real quick, just stand up. 18 years of age, visiting. Now, just stand for a second. Now, I want our older people to look around for a moment, look how many young people are in this room, and quite a few in the overflow as well. Now, listen, all the young people, check this out just for a second. Jackson, I want you to watch this. Kenny Corbin, watch this just a second. Check this out. Samson's entire life would have been totally different had he listened to one little piece of advice. His parents said, right here, chapter 14, his parents said, hey, have you thought through this? Listen, his father and mother said to him, is there never a woman among the daughters of the brethren or among all thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistine? Have you thought through this? Hey, Gavin, I don't think this is a good idea. That's what his parents are saying. Allie, you shouldn't do this. That's what the Word of God says. I'm not making this up. Like, legit, this is what the Word of God says. So, Colton, when he says that, had he listened at that moment, Ross, his entire life would have been different. But you know what he said, Will? I want it my way. I don't care what you and your old-fashioned fuddy-duddy church is doing, Mom and Dad. I want it my way. And let me tell you something. At this moment, he did not heed the warning sign, and it led to a complete disastrous life. I don't mean to give it away, but that ended in suicide. Well, David, it's not a big deal. I mean, come on. Tommy, Lois, it's a little thing. Mom, I do what I want. They don't understand. They don't have the times. They don't even know how to work YouTube. They don't have any followers I got. They don't know. Let me tell you something, young person, right now. You ought to heed to the warning of your parents. You ought to listen to the advice that your youth pastor gives you. This message is not just for the Jim Tituses and the Jeff Jones of this day. No, let me tell you something. This is for you. We are commissioned to raise up, but let me tell you, it is your responsibility to listen to your parents and listen to God, because I'm here to tell you, they're not here to make your life miserable. They're not here just saying, well, what rules can we make up and how can we make their life just so miserable to where they have no friends, they have no life, they have no phone, they have no fun, and they have no... You may feel like that at times, but let me tell you, the reason why they do this is because they love you, it's because they would give their life for you. It's because, let me put it this way, Opal, they have been around the block once or twice. They've ignored warning signs and it smacked them in the face. They didn't submit to the will of God. And let me tell you something, now 20, 30, 40, some 50 years later, it is coming back to bite them. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. The Bible says, what a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. And young person, right now, it's not just an older crowd. It is you in your life. You're sowing. You're living a life. The decisions that you make today, you're going to reap tomorrow. And if you're not listening and you're ruining your mind with that pornography and you're ruining your future relationship with a husband or wife by dating so-and-so that your parents said stop, or you've got that sour attitude and who cares what everybody else is doing? Well, I got to get involved and I've got to do this because it's the cool thing. Let me tell you something, friend. If it goes against the word of God, it's not cool. The reason you're in church today is because there's a God in heaven that died for you and shed his blood for you and loves you. And check it out, he has got a plan for your life. Well, I'm a nobody. No, you're everything. Look, Pastor Defoe had a ministry. Pastor Shepherd has a ministry. Can I tell you? We will blink, and if God tarries, we're going to be sitting where Pastor Defoe and Miss Jan said. Who's going to be in the pulpit? Who's going to be leading the music? Who's going to be playing the piano? Who's going to be hitting the mission field? Who's going to be standing up for what's right? Who's going to be opening the Word of God? Well, I don't know. It's probably not going to be me because, you know, my parents got a divorce and so-and-so, and I'm not really this. And I don't get the best of grades. Stop right now. You are loved. You are created in His image. You are generation next. And the warning sign is here today. What are you going to do with it? Well, I'll do my own thing. No. What are you going to do with the warning sign? Chloe, it is time. Understand, it is time that not just we preach it, but that young person, you start grasping it and holding it. Because DJ, I'll tell you, I'm just gonna be honest. Hope parents, you don't mind me doing this. If you get mad, shoot me an email or text later. But just let me say it. I am telling you, twins, I'm telling you, Carrie and I have met hundreds upon hundreds of young people. Hundreds. And many of them have destroyed their life. You know why? They didn't heed the warning. They ignored it. Young people, I tell you this today because we love you and we believe in you. We want you to succeed and do great things for God. But at the end of verse number 3, you got to quit living like Samson. I want it my way. Go get her for me. One little decision put him on a road of utter destruction. Parents, grandparents, it's time we put aside the pride for a little while. It's time you and I got back to not me, my, I. No, 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 no. It's time that you and I set it aside and got back to Abba, Father. Use me. Direct me. Bless me. Friend, do you have sin in your life today? Now, honestly, Pastor Fitzgerald, that doesn't make a good altar call. Young people, look, watch, check this out. When I say that, automatically, 5 people are like, well, if I go forward now, people are going to think I have sin in my life. Hold on, hold on. Is God blessing us the way he could bless us, or is there sin in the camp? The craving, the desire, the flesh, are we feeding it? Or maybe we should stop today and as a family get down on our knees and say, God, forgive me and use me. Do you know, friend? Thank you, young people. You may be seated. Do you know, friend, that this is how revival starts? By you and I looking at not just the sin of craving or the sign of contempt, but heeding those signs, those warning signs, and get down and beseeching God Almighty. Friend, I'm going to ask us today, what's the warning signs that are there? And we're weaving around them, doing our own thing, going our own way. And God's saying, look at my word, child. Hey, child, look at my word. Ah, no thanks, God. I got this. It's called my life. Go on, mom and dad. Get her for me. This is who I want. I don't care. It's Nazarite vow. I don't care. I want it my way. Boy, Samson began to sow. And what he reaps in his life was not pretty. Maybe today, moms, dads, let's grab our kids. Let's come on down. Let's pray together. Maybe Pastor DeFoe's generation, maybe your caring kids aren't here today. Maybe that generation just steps out and just comes and prays for a next generation coming up. Or just prays, God, may I never get in the spirit of my way, my worship, my church, my path. No, how about we stop for a moment, put self aside, and say, God, it's all about you.